Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
All right, welcome in, everybody. SC Wild here on Sports Talk Radio Network. As we're going to talk about some big things in the great outdoors with the Major Billy Downer from South Carolina DNR. Feel free to give us a call at 888-898-2525. You have a question for the Major about something related to the outdoors, something related to a DNR. He'll be happy to answer those questions for you. Again, the phone number, 888-898-2525. We welcome in Major Billy Downer from a DNR on this Wednesday night. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Always a pleasure to be here on yet another special edition of the COVID-19 DNR Report.
Well, I look forward to the day when I've got your smiling face sitting right across from me.
Yes, yes. It will be lovely to see you in person again. Nothing personal, Phil. Just, you know, it is what it is. Social distancing and all. So, hey, we continue our COVID-19 operations across the state with other state agencies, law enforcement, and public safety folks across South Carolina. Just really following what the governor's orders are right now. There's a lot of tension out there. We know that. We understand folks are tired of being cooped up. I get it. Mm-hmm. There's still restrictions on the water. We hope will be lifted soon. Love them to be lifted tomorrow, but, you know, we just don't know yet. But right now, there's a slow turn, it looks like, toward some type of new normal, whatever that might be. And I think, you know, things are going to be a little different for us as we enforce the outdoors this summer for boating. It's just the office, how people get their boat titles and registration is going to be a little different for a while. Don't see offices fully reopening anytime in the very near future, but coming soon, I'm sure there'll be some offices open for the state. We just don't have the full plan yet. So there's still a lot of apprehension. But anyway, despite that, your favorite animal continues to thrive in the wilds of South Carolina, the alligator. Mm. So public hunting, alligator hunt applications are now available. In the midst of all of this COVID-19 stuff, people have probably forgotten that, but May 1st is typically when the application process begins. So if you're interested in getting a tag for public alligator hunt season for this year, for 2020, you can go to the DNR webpage, dnr.sc.gov. It's on the main page on the right. It says Alligator Lottery. Click on that tab, send you right to it, and get you through the process. It's a $10 non-refundable application fee required to apply for the public lands hunt. It's a random computer drawing based on preference point systems from the past. So if this is your first year putting in, you're most likely not going to get drawn. You, of course, have to choose an area, one of the areas to hunt in the state. It's in the public lands program. And you attain, for every year you don't get drawn, you attain a point, a preference point. And as you attain more points, of course, you're pushed to the front of the line for the next year's hunt. So we're to a system now, I think it takes about 3 years to get drawn, so you have to have about two preference points. So you're going to pay about $30 before you finally get drawn. If you're drawn, residents pay $100 for the one time for the permit and the one harvest tag, and that's required to be paid online. So the season this year, again, it generally goes, it starts at 12 o'clock on September 14th and will run through 12 o'clock noon on October 12th. So that's months in advance, but right now the application system has begun here in May. So I just wanted to let folks know that. And as we talk about alligators, Phil, I know you're going to bring up our 10-footed friend down there in Kiowa Island. We have an incident again, unfortunately, resulted in the death of someone on Kiowa Island this past weekend. It's been in the news, so it's no secret. 10-foot alligator grabbed a woman by the leg, pulled her in the water, and she died from that incident. She was rescued a short time later. But the main point of the story, if you read the story, one of the things that could have been avoided here, as this is a 10-foot alligator, so it's a large gator. She walked to the edge. She told the people she was at the house with, she was visiting, want to go see it. She's seen, just was mesmerized. We'll go down there and see it. And she took her camera out, started taking pictures, got closer, closer, closer. This animal's in the water. And she went down to the edge of the water within mere feet to bend over the gator almost to take pictures. And in fact, possibly reach out and try to touch it. And the gator reacted. It grabbed her. And the folks tried to save her, but it pulled her in. So a tragic incident. Nothing that anybody wants to talk about much, but it did happen. Again, I've talked about alligators a lot, and it just seems like alligator human interaction continues to go up. So this is again why our lottery system's in place, to allow people to go take alligators on public water to control our population. Alligators are somewhere around 100,000 animals in the state. Typically from year to year. And typically, on an alligator hunt, they take somewhere around 300-plus gators each year in the hunts. So.
And I imagine that you're telling this story as well in detail, because you don't usually go into a whole lot of detail about this, but I think probably the message that you're trying to put out there is don't go near these gators. Don't let your curiosity get the best of you. Just stay away, because it's a tragedy waiting to happen if you get up close to one of those guys.
Well, the story, gets pretty vivid. You're right. I've given more detail than I normally give. This story's been widely publicized, though, so it's out there in the news. And so this is very consistent. It's the truth. In this case, could it have been avoided? Absolutely. Do not go near a gator. In the wild, there's no reason to go that close to a gator. You want to take a picture, stand back. But you don't walk down to the water's edge and stand almost over an alligator. Because they are an animal. We've talked about that. They have a small brain. It tells them to do two things. They don't have a thinking capability like we do. They're going to react. And this gator, unfortunately, reacted, and we ended up with a death. So,
did they go get the gator?
They did.
Yeah.
No, they did. They did. So, again, not to say this ended in tragedy, for sure. So this animal been there in this pond for a number of years. I think the story said this gator been there maybe 10 years or more. This gator been in this pond with no problems, but they had watched the gator apparently take a deer in recent months or recent weeks in the same spot it was sitting when this person walked down. So, again, the lesson to be learned here is don't go get that close. Stand back. I know they can be a beautiful animal to watch, amazing to see that in nature, but stand back and watch it. Don't get over it. Don't get close to it. Leave them alone, because they are an animal and they will react.
All right. So, let me mention the phone number, 888-898-2525. We do have a caller for you, Major. It's Alex, who is, he's where there are a bunch of gators. He's in Merle's Inlet, and he's joining us here on SC Wild. Alex, welcome in, and good evening to you.
Thank you. I'm at a place here in Merle's Inlet. Where I walk my dogs, there are a lot of large ponds and small lakes, and I have to always be wary of them, definitely. And so it's always on my mind about the alligators out there. I can see them. They could raise up. And I do have a DNR question, legitimate one. I've been wanting to know since I've been down here. I've kind of looked it up on the Internet. Haven't got my question. But quickly, before that, I do want to say thank you for, when this COVID-19 thing, the social distance, and I couldn't walk out on the beach with my dogs. I was furious. I could drive down Yakima Boulevard and Garden City. There are people out there walking, but I couldn't park. And I called in your show, and Major Down was like, that's just the law. And he was really, it calmed me down, because I was really pretty upset. And he should maybe go run for governor or president or something.
Hey, have you thought about that, Major?
He handled me well.
I'm glad we answered your question. I remember your question. You were wondering, I can't access the beach. And I was telling you, if you can find a friend that you can access through their beach access, you absolutely could from a private beach, a private house. Anyway,
they're
turned around, haven't they? They're letting you out to walk, I hope, now.
Yes, they are. Thank you. And my question is, I've been here about a year, and I really want to, I want to start fishing, and I've gone down the Garden City Pier, and I see these guys king mackerel fishing, and they got these fancy boxes, and I want to, I grew up fishing and crabbing and shrimping on Folly Beach, but when I fish, if it's a good fish, I want to eat it. I just don't want to do trophy fishing. But I see these guys fishing for king mackerel. So is it really an opportunity for me to catch king mackerel on a pier, and are they good eating? And I'm going to get off and listen to your answer.
Thank you very much. Okay, Major.
Thanks for the phone call. Great question. A lot of folks get into king mackerel fishing, Spanish mackerel. Both fish congregate right outside the breakers on, 100 yards off or less offshore. So the pier extending out there allows folks to be able to access the king mackerel fishery, Spanish mackerel, from the pier. So they are edible fish. A lot of people do enjoy cooking them. Mackerel bony, and sometimes they tend to be bony, but finding a good recipe is important. But mackerel, absolutely worth the while to catch and eat. If we're going to talk about, our saltwater fish, Phil, I'm going to talk about my favorites and one of the best eating fish out there, and you can catch some of these on the pier too. Flounder, of course, is a favorite. Flounder being one of the delicacies, I think, in the ocean. Everybody likes some good white flounder meat. But also, we've got our redfish, our spot tails, you can be caught inshore. You've got your spot speckled sea trout, spotted sea trout, which are just a wonderful fish to eat. A lot of good recipes for those. And my personal favorite, the brim of the ocean, so to speak, for me, is the sheep's head. And sheep's head can be caught off the pier some too. They do tend to congregate around pilings and things where you get a lot of barnacles built up. That's what they feed on. They feed on crabs and things that go around those barnacles or on the barnacles themselves. They'll crush the barnacles with those teeth, back off, and suck the meat out. So sheep head, probably to me, one of the best eating fish in the ocean, is little known by most people.
What kind of bait are you using for sheep head? What kind of bait?
Oh, sheep head's a talent, and it's a talent that I could tell stories about how I didn't have the talent to catch. So
yeah,
it's funny. A sheep head is one of those fish you have to catch them before they bite, and that's literally the tale. You have to feel that bite before they bite. Watch your line and pull, because as soon as you feel the bite, that's the crunch. And when you pull that line, you're going to miss them every time. So you almost have to sense that sheep head coming in. And a lot of times, if you look at a line on a boat and you watch that line drop down, you took the line, drop it to the bottom, pick it up about 6 inches and sit there, you can see your line begin to move one way, and that's that sheep head sucking that bait to his mouth to crush it. And you pull the line then, by the time you rack the pull, you'll nab him every time. So there is a great skill to the sheep head fish. But a lot of good fish out there, and certainly going back to the king mackerel, worth eating. So encourage them to go out to the pier. Pier fishing is a good way, but always encourage folks to buy a saltwater fishing license. You should be able to stamp, but a saltwater fishing license to support our saltwater fishery. That helps our biologists and helps us maintain the offshore reef system and things. So that money goes to good use. So please buy a saltwater fishing license, whether you fish on a pier or on the shore in the breakers. We've had a lot of fun the last few years in Edisto, actually fishing off the beach and catching sea trout, which has been a lot of fun, a lot of good to eat, eating those fish fresh that evening. Just a lot of fun. So a lot of fish can be caught right there on the beach you don't think about and on the pier. So yeah, good question. Appreciate him calling in.
Yeah, you can't beat going right from the water to your plate.
No, I mean, and fish is that one thing you can do that, and it just doesn't seem like it tastes the same when you freeze them and pull them out as it does when you pull them off out of the water. You clean them right there and you fry them or cook them. I'm a frying guy. I love to fry fish, so just a lot of fun. So a lot of good meat out there in the saltwater environment.
Great question. I was going to say, you've also gotten some good reports on some action in the Broad River in downtown Columbia.
Well, you start talking about some fresh water, shellcracker brim are being caught across the state on Lake Marion, other area lakes, red worms, crickets, bait of choice. Hearing some really good reports downtown Columbia on the river there in the rocks. Hard to believe, right where that effluent, where the pump station comes out. Folks are gathering up there and catching really nice stripers. And I'm hearing that they're doing very well early in the morning right now. And right there near Gervais Street. I mean, just it's hard to believe, but right there, sure enough, between Blossom and Gervais, catching some really good stripers there, is what I'm hearing.
Okay, hang on, sir. We're going to hit a break and come back and talk some turkey and get your final thoughts on the great outdoors in South Carolina as One thing you can mention, too, I saw a story, I think it was on television, where DNR has opened up some of the shooting ranges and things like that you might want to touch on. We'll be back. SC Wild, Sports Talk, Radio Network.
Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Back we are a few more minutes with Major Billy Downer and Kim in Manning. Checking in with us tonight on SC Wild. Hey, Kim, welcome in.
Thank you. Hey, Billy, this is Kim Belangie. I hope you're doing well.
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Listen, I had a question. You know, I live on Lake Marion on the waterfront, and my grandchildren were down this weekend and enjoyed swimming in front of my house, and they left Monday morning, and Monday afternoon about a 10-foot gator came swimming right by where they'd been swimming.
Ooh.
What are we supposed to do when we see that?
So if you see a 10-foot gator, we've had this question a lot. It's a common question. It's a common occurrence on Lake Marion, particularly when during the week when boating traffic is down, all of a sudden the gator shows up during the weekend. There was traffic everywhere. Gators are gone. We have that complaint a lot. We'll send somebody out and look for a gator. You know, boating traffic picks up and the gator's gone again. If you have a large gator, 8-foot or larger, that hangs out by your dock, by your shoreline, particularly where you have kids swimming like that, and it won't go away. Now, one swimming by, cruising in the morning, that's typical behavior for a gator. If he's not hanging out, sitting there, that's not a real problem. If he's there all the time, then give our 1-800-922-5431 a call. That's our Operation Game Thief line. Let them know where the gator's at, and they will send an officer to take a look at that. That gator's not moving, and he's not going anywhere. They'll probably send somebody out to remove it, particularly a 10-foot gator. If it's actually a 10-foot gator, and he's sitting there offshore, and he's not moving, he's sitting out around by the dock, and he won't leave, that's a gator that needs to be removed. So that's kind of how we play with that, as far as see what's going on. But if he's cruising one day, and you see him one day, and you don't see him the next, that's not normal. We see that a lot, particularly in Wildwood Creek, on Lake Marion, down from you, when during the week the traffic's slower, those gators get out and cruise. But as soon as that traffic picks up, they go away again. So, unfortunately, we got a very fresh, very wild area for them to come from across there of the lake with the refuge. But so it's a good place for gators to come from. But again, just keep an eye out. If you see them stay there, give us a call, and we'll have somebody come take a look at it and see if they need to remove it.
Okay.
It's a great question.
Thank you. All right.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I don't know about you, Major. Ain't no way in hell I'm going in a body of water that's got a gator anywhere near it. Whether it was a week ago or a month ago.
Don't step foot in South Carolina, then. I mean, we got gators there. Now, excuse me, you can go to Lake Jocassee, you'll never see one. Lake Kiwi, Lake Hartwell, you'll never see one. Mm-hmm. Actually, the upper end of Lake Murray, you don't see gators. It's just funny, that I-20 fall line. But Lake Marion, they've been there for 50, 60 years. Since that lake was built. So actually now I guess we're looking at 70 years. So we're approaching 70. So, but definitely we always have to advise folks, you know, gators will cruise in the mornings during the week. If you see one hangs out and stays there day after day, it's not leaving. That's a problem. Let us know about it. We'll have somebody come out, take a look and see if they need to remove it. If it needs to be removed, they'll take it out and remove it. So
when you say remove it, we're talking about not making him a pet.
It will never live on Earth again. That's what I mean by
okay.
Remove. We don't wrap it up, move it to another location, and release. There's not a catch-and-release program for gators
right
at this point because we have such a healthy population here now. There was a time when that was the case. Now, no. If a gator, if a problem gator needs to be removed, we remove them. So, Phil, before we end today, you mentioned something very important.
Yep.
You being just the perfect host helping me make sure we let the public know about reopening of our ranges. So a lot of folks been asking questions the last few weeks, been a lot of confusion. The president has said that ranges were essential across the United States, and yet our ranges were closed. So our ranges are now open again Tuesday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. There are some social distancing requirements in place. Every other position is open, so then every other position is closed. So we can't take as many people at one time when we're not renting any equipment. But come out to the Orrery Range, Twin Pond Range in Charleston, up at Pickens Range and Spartanburg Range are all open
Thank you, Major. Great job. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow.